I titled the message this morning this, A Man's Calling, Thoughts from a Father to a Son. So if it's your first time, that's the title, A Man's Calling, Thoughts from a Father and a Son. What can I, as a father who's still learning, still growing, still becoming who God has called me to be and wants me to be, but there are some things that I've learned, some things I've discovered. What are those things that I will tell my sons? Actually, I have a son here. They're the ones doing kids' work, I think, but he was here this morning. What would I tell them? What do I tell them? And I hope through it that the men in the house will rise up and fulfill what God has for you. And the girls in the house, the women in the house, you'll go, you know, I want to help the men of the house do that. I don't understand women very well, so I always appreciate it when people explain things about girls to me. And this is your moment, girls, to hear a man talking about man things. They can go, right, I know how and what and how to help the men in my world, be they husbands or sons or brothers or uncles or whatever. How can I help those go forward? Now, I mentioned a couple of things this morning. I'm just going to give you the titles so that you have them in your notes. The first one, I talked about, son, you need to lead and to sacrifice. Son, you need to lead and to sacrifice. And I unpacked that at least a little this morning. And then secondly this morning, I said, son, you need to be fierce and gentle. You need to be fierce and gentle. And I unpacked that a little this morning. So tonight I want to start on the third thing is this. Son, men in the house, you need to be wild and responsible if you're going to fulfill all that God has for you. Both wild and responsible. Not wild as in sinful. Wild as in, do you know, when you find a little boy, stick him next to a tree, what does he want to do? He wants to climb. How far does he want to go up? To the very top. My sons, when they were little, we were kind of having a picnic down the field, and Jonathan Thomas found one of the highest trees in the area. It's probably 50 or 60 feet high, and they started climbing. And they went all the way to the top, where the branches are wavy. And yes, all the way to the top. Thomas had to beat Jonathan, because he's the younger one. But he carries on. Men want to climb mountains. They want to be the fastest, the strongest. If they're doing martial arts, they want to be the best black belt they can possibly. In business, they want to be the biggest. They want to take risks. They want to, if they see a place, they want to conquer it because they have this wild streak in their heart and in their life. It actually comes, I believe, from Genesis 1:28, when God says, go and multiply. And then he says, go and subdue or rule the earth. He says, go after all the world, go and explore the whole world. Risk traveling, risk everything, and go and put your mark on it. And men love to do that. Yeah. Men are born to do that. Jesus came, and these two statements, I think, come together and really say to every single man in the house, you need to have a wild element. Genesis 5, verse 1, Paul writes that Jesus came so that men could be free. He came to give freedom. And in John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. Not part life, not a little bit, but all of life. You're supposed to go all of life with all that you have. Girls, this is one of these general statements. You want to tame your men. You want a safe man. A man that stays at home, that looks after you and the children, who provides for you, gives you stability. And there's nothing wrong in that. But don't tame the wildness. If you do, there'll always be something missing in the man. The dream that you had, the man you're going to live with, will be slightly taken away if you squash that wildness out of him. He needs to be released to be wild. He needs to be released to fulfill his full potential. And some of that is not going to be in your world. It's going to be in a different world, another world. And you need to release your man into that world with encouragement and excitement to go, you go for it. I believe in you. I'm excited that you're going to go and do that. I know when I do that, when you come back, you'll love me more. You'll be even more responsible. You will take your role even more seriously if I can release you to go and be the person that God has called you to be. And church, we live in a society that wants men to be utterly tamed. Utterly tamed. And it's not healthy. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if every single Christian man in this room said, you know, I'm going to be a little bit wild. I'm going to take risks and do amazing things. So the world doesn't see a whole bunch of gentle, sleepy Christian men, but they see men set on fire by God to fulfill their full potential and go and take risks for him and for his kingdom and for their family. And just sometimes because they can. Because it's in their heart to go and do it. The world needs Christian men to have that wildness released into the world. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be responsible. I'm not saying that. Don't you dare be irresponsible. You have wives and families, sisters, mums and dads to take care of. It's your responsibility to do that. I'm not saying drop responsibilities. But I am saying release that wildness inside you. I love it when I hear about men even just getting together playing football. It's like fantastic. When I hear men going to do martial arts or men going to climb mountains or go skiing or do something that's slightly risky, slightly. Why? Because it was always their destiny to go and have some wildness, to go and have some adrenaline released in their life. That was how they were created to be. And if you're a guy in this house, if you're not wild, can I ask you to do something real simple? Which is when you go home tonight, get on your knees and say, God, reignite the wildness. Now, wildness looks different in every single person. You know, I love skiing, right? I love nothing than going 100 miles an hour down a ski slope. It thrills me to bits. Some of you would hate that. But inside each one of you, there's a wild side that's unique to you that you need to release that will give you the joy, the adrenaline rush that you were created and born to do. And as you do that, you'll become the most attractive man on the planet. Not just kind of in a physical sense, but also attractive in a spiritual sense. People will love to be with you as you release that God-given risk-taking wildness within you. But you have to be responsible. And the Bible is full of lots and lots of responsibilities. And I'm not going to list them because, well, I don't have time. But usually those who aren't responsible, the Bible starts with, and the evil do such and such. Usually. Those who aren't responsible are usually termed as evil. So can I suggest a few things for men, for you to do, and especially some of the fathers in the house. Can I suggest, men, that you make room in your diary to do some man stuff with men? And can I encourage the girls to let the men do that? I mean, obviously, men don't drop the women in it or the wives in it because that's not fun, right? But do some men stuff together and be men together and show the world how men live. They live wild and free and yet responsible. Men, make sure that your household is, I put, stable. It sounds boring, but create a stable home for you and your wife and your children and all who come through to live in it. As you risk things, also produce stability for those around you who you love and they love you. And make sure that your finances are good, but I'm going to come onto that in a second. Number four, son, men in the house. Jonathan, because you're the only son I have here. Work hard, rest well. Work hard and rest well. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, he writes, those who don't work shouldn't eat. I love that advice. It's brilliant. It should be made a law in the land. If you don't work, you starve. It's fantastic. It's just brilliant. Everybody would work. It's amazing what would happen if you, yes, anyway. Genesis 2, verse 15, God says, before the fall, after he planted the garden, God placed man in it and said to him, look, I planted the garden for you to take care of and work in. And then Genesis 3, after the fall, God says, you'll still be working, but it's now going to be a bit harder and you're going to sweat a lot and it's going to be tough for you. Amen. Son, work hard. Work hard. Don't be lazy. There are 24 hours in the day. Roughly, you'll have 8 hours sleep and 2 or 3 hours to eat food. Yeah, that's reasonable, right? Yeah, that's good. That's right. It's a man food. That's a few good man stops. Yeah. What? I've wrestled the cow first. Yes, indeed. Which leaves a good half of the day to work hard. Yeah. Can I suggest for most of your life, you use it well to work hard. To work both for the present and for the future. To earn enough to support yourself and those who are reliant on you for their income and their stability. If you're married or you have children, to earn enough for them. But not just work for now. And this is kind of one of my key thoughts as I unpack this. But also to work for the future. To invest in your future and get ready for the future. For plan to what God wants to do and what you want to do in the future. So many of you in here under 40. And you should be spending some time working hard in the now, for now. But also you should be working hard and thinking about the future. You should be saving up. So if a business opportunity comes, you have the money to invest in it. You should be thinking about your education. You should be thinking about who can I make contact with so if such and such happens, I can take an opportunity there. You need to be thinking and planning for your future. As a father, I'm saying work hard, son. Work hard. Think about now and think about the future as well. Michelle's granddad, before he died when he was 96. And when he was growing up in the First and Second World Wars, which just shows how old he was, he had 5 children, and times were so tough. Granddad Redhead had 3 jobs to make sure his family was provided for. A morning job, a day job, and an evening job. He worked hard. And God has honored Granddad Redhead's legacy. Men in the house, work hard. Work to your capacity. Don't break yourself. Rest well, but work hard. Set yourself up and those that you love for a win. It's your responsibility. And if you're sat in here and you don't have a job, volunteer. Volunteer. If you don't know how to volunteer, come and catch me or any of the team afterwards, and we will help you. We have a long list of jobs that we would love you to do. And we will set you up. We've actually had a number of young men come through our doors here who were struggling to find work. And we said, come and work. Come and be volunteer. Be part of the volunteer team. And we've trained them and we've disciplined them and we've helped them become employable. And then they've left us and got paid jobs. But it's our privilege and honor to not just talk about this stuff. Actually, if you're a girl in the same place, we'd also love to help you. For sure. But God calls Christian men to work hard. To work hard, so work hard. And rest well, make sure you eat well. And son, don't eat quite as much as I have done over the years. But keep healthy, think about your physical being and your emotional being, your spiritual being and your mental being. Enjoy friendship as you work hard and have fun. I'll have to quickly go on. Number 5. Son, men of the house, fathers of the house, serve the cause of Jesus first. Put Jesus first in your life and do it with a family called church. And do it with a family called church. You see, son, Jesus will never let you down, ever. He's always with you. He always loves you. He'll always take care of you. There'll never be a moment where he won't be by your side and his Holy Spirit living in you to teach you and guide you. He will always be with you. And men of the house, if you don't have Jesus in your life yet, I'm going to ask one of the men at the end of my message and they'll give you a chance to say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to put him first. I want to have his cause as my cause, both now and for all eternity. You see, son, I've discovered that Jesus carries me through the bad times, and I've had one or two of those. But he rejoices with me in the good times. I've discovered that as I trust him and put him first, a joy and a peace is inside my soul that nothing else can replace. And son, as you become a father, do what Abraham did. If you remember, Abraham, when he was very, very old, had his promised son called Isaac. But there came a moment in his life, and it's recorded in Genesis, but I'm not going to read it out for you, where God says to him, go and take your son Isaac to a far mountain and there sacrifice him. And Abraham went and said, well, I trust you, God. I trust your cause more than anything else. And he set off. to do what God had called him to do. And this is what the writer to Hebrews says about that story and about what Abraham was about to do. I mean, Hebrews 11, verse 17. And listen hard, because our present age will tell you that what Abraham did was stupid. But I want to tell you what Abraham did was God-ordained. And it is what God calls every man to do. And I'll explain why in a second, so you know why as well. It says this, Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, he who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. That's what Abraham was asked to do. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Abraham believed that God could do anything. He was the God of the impossible. And therefore, he trusted his son, his only son, his precious son, firstly, into God's hands. You see, son, I've learned, and men, I've learned this. I can look after my children, but I can't keep them safe for an eternity. Only God can do that. Only Jesus can do that. There's no safer place for my children than the hand of God and in his presence. And for me to do exactly what God wants, because I know in that place, God is with me. And God, he has promised to take care of my children. So son, trust God and follow Abraham's example. He will look after you. And finally, father to a son. Son, be brave. Be brave. Let hope rule your life. Cry a little, not too much, but always be full of hope. Remember, you can do a little in a day, much in a year, but in a lifetime you can change the world. A lifetime you can change the world. And son, aim to change the world. If you're a man in the house, don't settle for anything less than believing that if you're brave enough and God is with you and you're following the cause, that you can't go and change the world. Our modern science says that we are, what? One among 7 billion, with no purpose, with no hope, with no life. The world will one day just go up in a bang of smoke when our sun expands and goes supernova. The Bible says that you have purpose and meaning. Yeah. That if you're brave and follow Jesus, that your life will count for something for all eternity. And that each one of us is destined somehow or other to change the world for his glory. Yeah. To leave our mark, an amazing mark on this planet. And men of the house, son, be brave and do it. Be brave and do it. God has you in his hand. And son, remember that little will be remembered of you apart from that which you leave behind in every person that you meet. Every person that you meet. Let every relationship be full of hope and life in Jesus' name. It was strange preparing this message, especially when I finished it off this afternoon. It felt like I was going to die tomorrow, which I'm not, by the way. But it felt a bit like that. And it made me realize that our lives are temporary, church. And whether you're a man or a woman in the house, your life is temporary. And there'll come a point when you're no longer here. And I want to challenge each one of you as I finish this, be you a man or a woman, what kind of legacy you're leaving? Every time your foot steps anywhere on this planet, what do you leave behind? What mark do you leave? If you love Jesus, do you leave something of Jesus every time you step somewhere, or do you not? And the challenge, I think, for each one of us, be as fathers or sons, daughters or mothers, is to realize that we are called as people of God to leave a mark of Jesus every single where we go. And to do that, we need to be brave.